He scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left!
Off the glass in left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Passing to Yale. A shot saved. Made by Al Aguilla. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg.
It's that time. It is the final Friday before Christmas. It's Friday, December 20th, and we are underway this hour on Flames Talk. Welcome to it on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. My name is Pat Steinberg, and we've got a busy hour ahead for you. It's a Friday. And you know, every Friday, a full hour dedicated to the Eric Francis Hour. And it's time now for Eric Francis of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. The Eric Francis Hour brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. The Alberta horse racing and breeding industry has a $312 million positive economic impact in Alberta annually. Visit thehorses.com. 18 plus. Please play responsibly. And Eric joins us now from Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and a whole lot more. Hello, EF. How are we doing, brother?
Happy holidays, my friend. It's a nice, fun little window we're in, right? Just before we all say goodbye and go to see our families. It's a nice little time of the year.
I was thinking about never coming back. This might be the final ever Eric Francis Hour.
That's okay, too. Sure. That'd be my gift to you. You don't ever have to do this again.
I was thinking about moving to the North Pole, and then I can just stay there, you know. So we'll see. It's a fun little window we're in right now. It's always Saturday afternoon's game is going to be full of cheer. It's going to be a jam packed day at the Dome. I'm looking forward to the game against the Blackhawks. And then the Flames don't have Christmas breaks like this. Rarely, a lot of times we talk about the Christmas break and then we say, it's not really a break though. It's just a little bit of a breather in the schedule of 2 or 3 days. They're off for a week. They play the 21st in the afternoon. They'll do a Boxing Day captain skate probably. They'll probably practice on Friday the 27th. So they're going to get 4, 5, 6 days off potentially here between games and a good chunk of time off between practices. Like this, the Flames have not ever had anything like this in my time covering them. So, yes, we are the beneficiaries of it. We're loving it, but I would imagine that the Flames players, coaching staffs, they're reveling in this too.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like this ever. Like, it's usually race home the evening of the 23rd, or in my case, because I don't travel, unless on the Flames charter, it's race home on the 24th. Which is no fun. So, yeah, this to have, basically 6 days off is absolutely unheard of. Probably comes at a good time. I know for us in the media, it feels like it's time for a little break, and I'm sure the players feel much the same way. And it's cool, too, because, listen, even when they only had 2 or 3 days off, a lot of the guys would take the flight back to their families. But now, with all this time off, I think pretty much every player, unless you're a European player, is heading back to their respective homes right after the game tomorrow afternoon. So good for them. Good for them. It's a well-earned break. You know what? This team deserves this break and to feel good about what they've done so far this year. I know the road's been a little rockier of late, but when you get to where the Calgary Flames have been against a lot of odds and you've done it based on a work ethic, more than anything else, you deserve a holiday break like the one they're getting. So yeah. Good for them.
And, it's not the official midway mark after Saturday's game, but it's pretty close. 7 games away from the midway mark. Got a pretty good idea as to where the Flames are going to be. It'll be 34 games in on Saturday. And, at worst, they'll be hanging around a playoff spot. Maybe they'll be in one. As we're talking right now, they technically sit outside of the playoffs by points, but in the playoffs by points percentage, and you can choose which one you want to glass half full or glass half empty. That's for you to decide if you're listening. I'm not going to decide it for you, but they're right there. They're in the mix. They're fighting tooth and nail for a playoff spot. They're going to finish their pre-Christmas schedule in the same spot, and I think they do deserve a ton of credit. I don't know what the final 48 games are going to bring. I really don't. I don't know if they're going to remain in the playoff mix or fall out of it, but I'm with you. I think that they can be really happy about the way that they have played up until this point and the results they've been able to earn and the position they've been able to earn. It has been based on, you know, the things that have been most encouraging would be the fact that it has been based on hard work and work ethic and structure and team play for sure. But it's also been not solely because, you know, we've seen great performances from veterans lately, like Kadri and Huberdeau, and obviously Anderson and Weegar have been huge all year. Backlund and Coleman back together is huge, but a lot of the Flames' success has been on the backs of guys who are under 25 years old, right? Dustin Wolf, Kevin Ball, you think up front, and Connor Zeri and Matt Coronato. Even Martin Pospisil's 25 years old. A lot of the success they've had here has been thanks in large part to their young players. So you add that on to the fact that they're playing with a lot of structure and the work ethic and all that type of stuff. I think there is a lot to be excited about going into the Christmas break.
Well, you know, I think we've said it a million times here. You know, this season, to me, the success of this season should be based on the growth of the youngsters. And, you know, with just a few exceptions around the entire organization, there's been tremendous growth for a lot of these guys. You know, really, one of the only guys, you know, who's had a real down season is Kuzmenko, and maybe to a lesser extent, Sharon Govich. But, you know, every guy in that room, the young guys, they all have to feel pretty good about their contributions. You know, Jacob Pelche even kind of being one of the latest ones in terms of, you know, he's had a bit of a breakthrough in this call-up where he's found a little niche for himself. And that's encouraging, too, because I think a month ago, even maybe 3 weeks ago, nobody was really sure what his future was in the NHL, you know, or the organization. And he's got a little traction of late, and that's kind of encouraging, too.
Well, and you are it's like we've been doing this show for a long time with one another, because that's exactly where I want to go next, or where we want to go next. And, you know, you wrote about Jacob Pelche Friday over at Sportsnet.ca. He's now played 7 games on this recall. In the last little bit, he's been on a line with Connor Zeri and Yegor Sharangovich, so he's been promoted from fourth-line duty to third-line duty, or middle six duty. You mentioned the work that he's done on the penalty kill. This has been a positive story from how it was in training camp and for how invisible he was for a good chunk of camp, for the uncertainty that hung over him for 24 hours while he was in limbo on waivers, and for him to start the year in the American League. And let's be honest, I mean, from a performance standpoint or a merit standpoint, Pelche wasn't close to making the roster out of camp. The only thing that kept him close was him being a first round pick and waiver eligible for the first time. And on merit, the American League was where he should have started. And then he went down there with the right attitude. He went down there with something to prove. And he started to prove it. He's a point-per-game guy there. And when the time came for a couple wingers to be recalled, Jacob Pelche got his recall. And it may be his last big opportunity to prove he can be a full-time NHLer with the Calgary Flames. But through 7 games, Francis, so far so good. I think it's been a real positive story what we've seen from Pelche here over the last couple of weeks. I'm with you.
Yeah, and to me, where it's encouraging and where I do think that, you know, we could see him stick around for a little longer than we thought, you know, if not the rest of the year, is this, the way they've empowered him. I do think that Ryan Huska is so, it might be what he's best at, is just giving players, like empowering them with different tasks. And in this case, like I always cite what they've done with Rasmus Anderson, and he's having the best season of his career and really embrace the leadership role, the added responsibility, the added ice time, and everything that they've asked of him this year. Like I think that was a masterclass in just empowering a guy who, you know, may still even be on the fence in terms of whether he wants to stay here or not. But boy, the way he's responded to what they talked to him about in the offseason and the added responsibility, like it's worked. And similar to Jacob Pelche, you know, they've said to him, look, we want you to kill some penalties. We think that that's a way that maybe you can stay in the league. And the stat I cited in the 5 games since they've been rolling him out with regularity alongside Blake Coleman, he's killed penalties for a total of eight minutes and 18 seconds. Look, I know it's a small sample size, but in that time, the opposing teams have only gotten 3 shots on goal and only 1 high danger chance. And I'm not saying that that's all because of Jacob Pelche, but you got to remember from where this team has been pretty much this whole season with their penalty killing being amongst the worst in the league.
Yep.
To be able to help, be a part of the solution to turn that around recently. So, where they've been a whole lot better the last handful of games, the kid deserves some credit. And I think it's going to keep them here long past that 30-day window in which that they may not have thought they may keep them past. I talked to Craig Conroy today, and he basically said, if he continues to help us, on the penalty kill and show us that, he can be a productive part of it, he's staying. He said, just like Costco, we'll keep him longer, if not the whole season, if he continues to play.
Yeah.
For them to, to give him that much credit and belief that he could stay with this roster. So that's an interesting development. And in terms of the third line, it's kind of that line of the misfit toys, right? It's Zeri, I think, has still been the best forward they've had this year, or right up there. And he probably deserves better than to play with Pelche, who's still trying to find his way offensively, and play with Sharon Govich, who's been struggling mightily this year. But that line, I thought last night was really, really good. On Thursday night against Ottawa, I thought they had a lot of scoring chances and kept the puck in the offensive zone a lot. So anyway, I know these are small sample sizes, but there's good reason to believe Jacob Pelche is going to stay in the NHL a whole lot longer than anybody thought maybe a month ago.
I agree. And I think keeping him in the middle six is the way to go. Looked like he was going to remain on that line with Zeri and Sharon Govich at practice on Friday morning. I'm just, more than anything else, I'm it's a Christmas gift that you pulled stats right from Natural Stat Trick. And I know that you like to make fun of the nerds, but that you cited Natural Stat Trick, high danger chances and goals for, goals against, shots on goal. I'm just proud of you, man. I like, you're growing as we move towards Christmas. I'm seeing growth from Eric Francis.
Well, I'm seeing growth too, but it's largely revolves around Christmas cookies and those little snowballs with the, I love those, and gingerbread man. That's the growth I'm seeing. So yeah, I credit
spiced rum and Coke.
Spiced rum and Coke.
Spiced rum and Dr. Pepper.
Eggnog. And we could throw a lot of different things in there, and we have. It's the season to show some growth. That's for sure. I'm no exception. That's for sure.
I will say this. I don't know how much belief there was going into this recall on Jacob Pelche that he could do it. I think internally there had been some belief shaken in terms of what he was going to be. But Craig Conroy wanted to bring this guy in and know for sure. He didn't want this to be a scenario where, maybe it doesn't happen. He doesn't get a lot of NHL time this year. And then all of a sudden they're thinking about not signing him next summer. And they didn't really get a good look at him. They didn't want this to go the Matthew Phillips direction. And I know Matthew Phillips is a 6th-round pick and Pelche's a 1st-round pick. But, I think that the frustrating part about Phillips is that as much as it's probably been fleshed out that he's not a full-time NHL player, the Flames didn't find that out by themselves. They didn't find that out with him on their roster, and they didn't really ever have the anecdotal or empirical evidence themselves. And I think they want to avoid that with Pelche. And so I think Craig Conroy was like, hey, we need to see. And so far in the 7 games he's played, I think he has done some really good work, and I think that he's starting to build some of that belief back. And I think that's a real credit to the organization for thinking big picture with a former 1st-round player. I think for Conroy and that hockey op staff, even though you could have gone Rory Karens, or you could have gone Dryden Hunt, or you could have gone a number of other directions, they realize that Jacob is at a state now where you know, there's no guarantee that he's back with the organization beyond this season. And if it was proven that he couldn't play in the NHL, I think there's a good chance they'd move to just going in their separate directions over the summer. So to say we don't want to get to that point and not have enough evidence and give him the opportunity, I think that was the right move by the organization. And on the other side, now you've got a player who's given an opportunity to really answer the bell. And I think I have to tip my hat to Jacob because he's come up here with the right attitude. Even from that first day where he was back with the team, you could feel a guy that had that buzz which had been missing for so long, and it's translated to the ice. In a fourth-line role, he's been buzzing around. He's been decently productive. I've liked him in the middle six, five-on-five role, and obviously the penalty-killing role he's really taken hold of and taken ownership of. So I think Jacob deserves a ton of credit for making good on the opportunity that he was given here. And I think, you know, on both sides, this is a really good thing. And if it continues, it's only going to be a better thing, because the more young players that can step up and step into a role, the better this year.
And I think that it also shows, you know, even in the summer when the Calgary Flames are trying to sign the odd guy here or there, it could be a young prospect or whatever the case may be. It could be a college hotshot. You know, I mean, the Flames will be right out there this year, you know, trying to get, you know, land as many of those guys as they can, you can bet. And I just, it shows that this is a land of opportunity, and they don't give up on youngsters, especially at this, you know, at this point in time for the organization. It's all about youth movement, and it's all about trying to find and give guys chances. And so I think that has gotten out there the last several years, and I think that continues to be their calling card when they're trying to recruit, you know, hotshot college kids moving forward. And this is another example of a guy who, I think you're right, a lot of people thought he was pretty much done. And, you know, he's just so popular, too, in the room. And I know that that's an intangible that's hard to kind of put a price on. But they had their social team today, you saw this, I'm sure, but they had a little sign outside. They'll often have a sign as the players come off the ice, a little sign that just says a question of the day.
Yeah.
And they don't read it out. The players just read it as they come off the ice and know that they have to answer. And then they'll put together something, some mashup on social media, and it's usually quite funny. Today's question was, who is the player on the team that you definitely would not want to cook your Christmas dinner for you? And it was just so great, so comical to see guys, every single guy, coming off the ice. And the first thing they all said, Peltz, Peltz, Peltier, Peltz. That's Jacob, no problem. And he wasn't even sure where that was coming from, but it comes from the fact that guys just love him, and they know they can, you know, have some fun with him. And that's not enough reason to keep a guy on the roster just because he's popular and he's a lot of fun. But the combination of that and him starting to be productive in a smaller way on the penalty kill, but also I think that line is looking better and better.
Mm-hmm.
It all combines to be something that everyone can be quite proud of in the organization. Like Conroy would be so thrilled if this kid could be an everyday NHLer, and who wouldn't?
Yeah, and that's the other thing, is that even though maybe the belief had been questioned a little bit in terms of what this guy can be, especially when you put him on waivers, there is never, like, they've wanted this to work the entire way, and so the organization's happy about what they're seeing. I can tell you that for sure. Okay, mm-hmm. It's Francis and Steinberg. It's the Eric Francis Hour here on Flames Talk. You wrote about Jacob Peltier on this Friday. Who'd you write about? What Flames player did you make the focus of your column on Thursday following the game against Ottawa? What member of the Calgary Flames were you looking at?
Listen, when a guy comes in like Brady Tkachuk, who I think is an absolute unicorn in the NHL, like, for my money, the most complete player in the NHL in terms of the entire package.
Interesting.
How can you not write about the night that he had, taking that stick in the face, going to get some 9 stitches, he lost a tooth, and then he gets the overtime winner, and he's a Tkachuk, and there's a history, and the city, I think, really has a soft spot for this guy, given the way he was double fisting his way right through that series when Dallas and the Flames were playing in 2022. Like, I don't know how many people were angry that he scored the overtime winner. Like, yeah, Flames fans are going to be disappointed, but it has to be somebody on that team. Not sure people were furious that it was him. Plus, as soon as he scores the goal, I love that as he's getting mobbed, he's trying to make sure that the right kid in the crowd, gets his stick. He's trying to pass it over the glass to make sure, not that kid. That kid over there, give him the stick. This guy just gets it. He's entertaining. He's colorful. He's a beast on the ice. He's a great leader. We know now that he's a bleeder as well. I can't not write about Brady Tkachuk. I just think he's such a great story, especially after what he did last night. Am I wrong? Do you not have a little bit of an affinity for a Tkachuk in that role coming in here and just the way he plays the game?
I'm a big fan of Brady Tkachuk. I'm an even bigger fan of the way that he's responded to some of the criticism that he was taking in that market, like literally weeks ago. And he's really answered the bell in that regard. I might say that Flames fans would be a little more upset to be loving on Brady after the way overtime went, where he was also the guy that may have been the guy who fouled a Flames player and then went down and scored the overtime winner. But generally, I don't think there's a lot of dislike for the guy in this market. In fact, I think there is always going to be a bit of an affinity for him, to your point, Eric, because he was like, he became a part of the family, even though Matthew's no longer here. And, maybe the way things went with Matthew leaving, it leaves a little bit of a sour taste in some mouths just because he decided he didn't want to be here long term. But Brady became a part of the family that year. Like he was on TV as much as his brother was, right? Because it was such a cool story. So I do think that there will always be there will always be a soft spot amongst Flames fans for that guy, and I have no problem with that. And you're right. He has turned himself into a unicorn. Both brothers are. They're different. Like the reasons they're unicorns are different. But they've turned themselves into two of the most unique players in the NHL, without question.
I was having dinner with a scout yesterday, and he said that every once in a while they'll have a list. Like Brady came up, and he said every once in a while, for fun, we'll be asked as scouts to put together a list of like who's the biggest impact player in the league. Who would you most want in your organization in a playoff series? It's just fun lists like that. And it's all, in the name of gathering information and intel around the league. He said that they put together a list, his organization put together a list of guys who would drag their team into the fight. And he said number one and two on the list by a mile were the Tkachuk brothers, both of them. And I thought that was interesting insight from a scout. We know these things. We know these guys drag their lads into the fight, and they'll defend any guy on their team as well. And listen, there's also an entertainment part to this game. Like, there are superstars. Like, look, I said last week I wrote about Kucherov after he got his 6-point night. I didn't write a lick about the Flames that game. I thought it was just so amazing that we got to see a 6-point game from a superstar, a quiet superstar like Kucherov. He didn't even talk after the game. Like, that's a career high for him too. And he didn't make himself available. Brady Tkachuk just lost a chicklet. He's feeling like, he's not feeling well. And as he said, he goes, I don't feel too good, and I don't feel like I'm very good looking right now, but I'm glad I had my Christmas pictures done last week. Like, to find humor in a moment where you're in incredible pain. I know it's just stitches, but NHL players, as tough as they are, there's actually a good story in here one day. I'm going to write a column on it. As tough as those guys are, they are all deathly afraid of dentists. I mean, I'm not saying most people are not real keen on dentists. I get it. But NHLers, more than anyone, I feel like. And so he didn't have a very good time. But I thought it was a great story that he told also about how the dentist and the doctors who tended to him, they used the word family when they were tending to him. And they were laughing about some of their memories together. Because he spent so much time here watching Matthew and being part of the Flames family. Like he said, they were so good to me because they were like family. I'm sorry, but I just think he is a guy who this city will always feel real good about. So I was happy to see what he did last night. I don't think there are two more entertaining players in the NHL than those two for different reasons. And you're darn right. I wrote about him last night because that's entertainment.
I like it. And by the way, if you ever need a dentist, like the Doc Morihira at Morihira Dental, right?
Like that's
the one they should go. He'll calm all your nerves, and I vouch. Big Maury here, a dental guy.
You don't do the sedation dentistry, do you?
No.
No, come on. Good. I'm glad. You just got to face it head on. You're in good hands with him.
Absolutely. You don't feel a thing. I got my wisdom teeth taken out earlier this year, and I honestly, no pain afterwards. They're like, yeah, it might be painful for 2 or 3 days, like cycle painkillers. It was fine. It was such an easy extraction. Best in the business. There's some more free
look
advertising for the good doc.
Over
hey?
The top. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, good, it's yeah. only, it's mainly because what a great story. And now that the Chuck-a-puck winnings have gone to a good place. Like it's a good story to keep on rolling with.
Yeah.
Okay. We have to get to a couple of other things. And you picked up on something on the phone lines Thursday night that we will open up the second half of the Eric Francis Hour around the corner, and that'll lead us nicely into another one of your columns this week. Eric Francis is on Twitter, at Eric Francis. My name is Pat Steinberg. We're underway on the Eric Francis Hour this week, brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. The Alberta horse racing and breeding industry has an $83 million positive economic impact in Calgary annually. Visit thehorses.com. 18+, please play responsibly.
You're locked on Flames Talk, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Eric Francis Hour on this edition of Flames Talk. Eric Francis of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. My name is Pat Steinberg here on Flames Talk. Okay, EF, I always appreciate that you listen to Flames Talk postgame, by the way. That always warms my heart. It's always nice to know that Eric's listening. Kind of gives me a nice cushion. If I'm having a bad day, I'm always like, Eric's listening. And one of the calls that definitely caught your ear on Thursday following a 3-2 overtime loss to the Ottawa Senators. There was a call about Kaapo Kakko and the Flames potentially having interest in him. Obviously, earlier this week, Kakko was traded from the New York Rangers to the Seattle Kraken. That one caught your ear a little bit, hey?
Yeah, it wasn't the first person I've heard say, well, geez, why wouldn't the Flames try to get a Kaapo Kakko? I mean, they need goal scorers and they need offense. And, you know, I like what you were saying. Like, first of all, like, I'm not sure the Flames would have been interested in giving up something similar in terms of the package. You know, as a defenseman, Will Borgen, who's, you know, a serviceable NHL defenseman, and a third and a sixth round pick for Kaapo Kakko. And, look, Kakko, I think I looked at it the other day. I think the most goals he's ever had in a season was 18. He's basically like every year, injury or not, that's the projection he's at. You know, he's not even a 20-goal scorer. And hey, I think he will thrive in Seattle under, you know, a fresh new start. But that's a left-handed winger. Like, the Calgary Flames don't need more left-handed
wingers. They've got a few
wingers.
Of those.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone should suggest that this is a 30-goal scorer who's waiting to break out in a new environment, like at what cost as well. So, you know, which defenseman were you going to give up as part of that? Because you basically have three defensemen that are, you know, in my opinion, not movable, right? Like, you got three that you'd love to throw into a trade and three that you'd hate, you couldn't throw into a trade. Like, so I just don't see it. But I guess the one thing, I'm glad you brought it up, because like the Calgary Flames did talk to the Rangers about Kaapo Kakko. Like, it's not like they just weren't interested and let it go. Like, but it just wasn't the fit. And, you know, they're still looking for that centerman. That's where they want to put their resources.
Exactly.
And their time and effort into finding a centerman who can help this franchise moving forward, because they still desperately need another one. So this was not the place to swing for the fence. Not that you had to swing for the fence to get him, but it just wasn't the fit that they're looking for. I guess I just kind of want people to know, it's not like this one just slipped through their radar.
No.
They looked at it and agreed with you and I that's not the fit the Calgary Flames look for right now.
If they're and it's why, like, of course, like when you check in, you're like, hey, are you interested in Kaapo Kakko? And then you hear things like, yeah, I mean, like we'll take a look, but like, why would they give up assets for an area that they don't really need? They're pretty rife with left shot wingers, left shot forwards. There is a clear need for a right shot center right now. And I'm not suggesting they just go get that at all costs, but if there is a player out there who is potentially available who fits the age range and fills that void, that's what they should be focusing their attention on, and I believe that is what they're focusing their attention on. And they would have been not doing, like, Connie wouldn't have been doing his due diligence if he didn't check in and say, hey, what are you looking at for Kako? But, you know, he fits Seattle a whole lot more than he fits the Flames. And so, the Flames, if they were, hey, we'll take a seventh-round pick for Kako, well, sure. But, you know, to give up, And apparently the Rangers were pretty big fans of Borgan, which is part of why it ended up being Seattle. The Flames don't really have a 28-year-old D-man that is going to be able to fill that void unless you want to give him like a Jake Bean or something like that. And they just signed Jake Bean, and I don't think that they're necessarily ready to give up on that, plus give up the picks. Like, they've acquired these picks, and they've acquired these prospects to try to either use them to build the organization, or use them as trade chips for things that they actually need, and Kaapo Kakko is not one of them. And so they need a right shot. They need a right shot center, man. They need a Shane Pinto or a Dylan Cousins. That's who they need. They don't need Kaapo Kakko. So yeah, they should have talked to the Rangers. They did talk to the Rangers, as did many other teams. It just wasn't the right fit. Which leads us to another name that you may or may not have wrote about this week. Who caught your eye, and what player on the Florida Panthers got your mind racing coming out of Saturday's 3-0 win over the Panthers at the Dome?
Well, in our chat with Paul Maurice, who is just one of the most phenomenal orators like in the league, like he's just, I just absolutely love talking to this guy. He's just so good with his words and so insightful and entertaining and all these things. And, you know, he pointed out at one point that he did talk to Sam Bennett early on when Sam Bennett became a Panther. And you remember, we all remember the day he got there, like he just turned his entire career around. Like he did have, I think, 15 points in his last 10 games of the season with Florida, and is, you know, since won a Stanley Cup, is now going to go represent his company, his country at the Four Nations Faceoff. Like, you know, his stock has soared, as I think the whole Flames would have hoped that it would have when they drafted him fourth overall. But it never happened in Calgary. He was kind of a healthy scratch a lot of times. But the coach said that when he asked Bennett what he thought the key was to turning his career around, he said the chance to play with Huberto changed everything for Bennett. And they moved him to the middle to be a center. But I had never heard that before. And I know that he had chemistry with Huberto and all that, but maybe I had forgotten that. But it just got me thinking, you know, the Calgary Flames are looking for an impact center. They're very familiar with Sam Bennett. You know, obviously, you know, the fact that he has chemistry with Huberto in the past, and this organization's probably second on their wish list, is to find someone who can have chemistry with Huberto. So you could knock off your list a centerman, you know, he'd probably be your number two centerman, and also a guy who could potentially kickstart your priciest asset on your team. You know, I know that Sam Bennett's 28, which is a little outside of the age range that they're kind of looking for, but there would be no growth. You know, they wouldn't have to wait for the growth. They know who he is and what he is right now. Again, and people could argue and say, well, on the open market this summer, you know, like I don't know what he's going to get. You'd have a better idea than I do. You know, is it $8 million a year this guy's going to get? I don't know what it is, but it's going to be 8 times 7 or something like that somewhere. And then maybe people would say, oh my God, we've seen his act and he's not worth that. Well, he's a different player than when Calgarians saw his act. He was a big reason why they won the Stanley Cup. And he's that ingredient that you need to win a cup, that grit and leadership and win at all costs. So I just thought, you know what? And I know that the Flames are interested in Sam Bennett. There's no question about that they would love to have a guy like that in their roster. So I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying that it's a very, it makes a lot of sense in a lot of different ways. Now you can tell me you don't agree at all and you think it's a ridiculous notion, but I'm just here to tell you that when you start looking at all the boxes it checks, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they had conversations this summer if he becomes a UFA.
I just don't love it. I'm not a big fan of
you
the
don't
idea.
Love it.
And it has nothing to do with Sam whatsoever. I'm so happy that he went and as you mentioned, like completely turned his career around and turned into a significant impact player. Like we're talking about a guy who flirts with 20 goals on a year-to-year basis. He's already at 13 this year. He's having his best season to date right now, 27 points in 31 games so far. He plays down the middle there. But a few things. First of all, I don't think Florida's trading him. So I don't think that is going to happen at any point. And I worry, like, he'll be 29 when he's a free agent this summer. If Florida and the Flame, if Florida and Bennett don't figure it out, which I still think there's a chance they will. But if they let Bennett walk to free agency, which they could very well do, say, hey, Sam, we're a little far apart on contract. We got to be wary of the cap. Thank you so much for helping us get to two Stanley Cup finals, maybe three, maybe winning another one. Who knows what happens? But I don't think it's completely bonkers to think that they would part ways. But I don't see the wisdom myself for a team that is trying to get younger and a team that is trying to give younger players the lead on this team to go and overpay on a long-term contract for a guy who's 29. That seems very counterintuitive to what Craig Conroy and the team is going to do, because all the other things you say make sense. Does he check a ton of boxes other than the fact he's a left shot, not a right shot? But he checks a lot of boxes. We know there's always been an affinity for him in this market, and people were so happy to see him go succeed in Florida, all of that stuff. And he plays a hard-nosed brand, and maybe there could be renewed chemistry with him playing with Jonathan Huberdeau like he did there. The age and the fit and the contract, it seems against the grain for where the Flames are going. That's all.
Yeah, and you know, I that's totally fair. And I do know it would be a mixed reaction if, like, you know, Craig Conroy, I think we all kind of feel like he's kind of waiting to make a splash and really put his stamp on this team. Like, he's done a good job putting his stamp on it. But do you know what I mean? Making that signature move that's like, wow, he really does have – some stones to make that move, or if they went out and got like a Rantanen on the open market and overpaid for a superstar like that, I think is what people are hoping that he'll do at some point in time, because he's got all this cap space. And you know, if you could target a guy that just can't come to terms with his current team, is a free agent in the summer, and you just say, you know what, we got more money than anybody else, and we have a real need or a penchant for that player who can sell tickets and be a leader on this team, go for it. Rantanen's that kind of guy who I always picture him going after. Not that he's going to become available, but if he ever did. Mm-hmm. Bennett, not so much. People would see it and go, oh my God, really? Like, that's the home run swing you're taking? You're paying $56 million or whatever the number is for a 29-year-old player who we watched, you know, be a third-line winger all these years in Calgary. Like, I get it. Wouldn't be universally applauded. All I'm saying is, as I thought about it more, and I've had some conversations with people in and around the organization, and you know, there is a very real possibility he does hit the open market this summer, because they've got so many superstars in Florida, they probably can't afford to sign him for the money. You know, it's the cost of winning a cup, right? Guys like Lomberg and everything, these guys are luxuries now. You can't, these guys are all going to now go
Ekman,
and get paid.
Larson and Montour and Lomberg and Cousins and a number of players have all left that team after winning the cup. As you're right, they can't keep everybody in a cap world, especially after winning a cup when everybody's stock is going to be higher.
Yeah, and I can't fathom that they would trade him. I mean, like, you know, it's not about asset management right now in Florida. It's about trying to win a second cup in a row, because you've got that window wide open. So I can't imagine they would ever, I mean, they might contemplate it, but trade Sam Bennett just to say, well, we can't lose him for nothing. We got to get some assets here. No, no, no. That's not the window they're in. The Flames are in that window, but not Florida. You know, so I it'll be interesting on the open market. What is he like? Do you think I'm way off? And I'm not, forget about whether the Flames would stick their neck out for him, but are we looking at $8 million a year? Like, again, everybody gets overpaid as a UFA, especially if you're like, you know, a significant player. I'm not saying he's an $8 million player, but I think we're talking about money at least that, aren't we? in the open market?
Probably, especially if he finishes, like, he's on pace for in the 70-plus point range, and, you know, he's been a very effective playoff player for them as well. If that continues and he hits free agency with 70 or 65, 70 points under his belt in the regular season and has another good playoff run with a Stanley Cup ring, and two Stanley Cup final appearances under his belt, yeah, he's going to be a very sought-after free agent, which also worries me from a Flame standpoint, because we know that you have to overpay years and dollars to come here. Like, James Neal came here because the Flames offered him more money and more and an extra year that nobody else was giving him. Like, you might have to do that to bring a sought-after guy here. And Rantanen or Makar or somebody like that, yes, all day, love it. I love Sam Bennett as a player, always appreciated him as a guy, always wanted to work for him here. I just don't know if you need to force that one, that's all. And I love the column because it got people talking. I was like, oh, I know what we're talking about on the Francis Hour on Friday. But it's not my favorite fit for the team.
Yeah, and that's absolutely fair. Like, I do think when you make your big splash as GM, when Conroy does it, it's you want to make sure that it's pretty ironclad, like universally applauded, and it's easily defended. There are holes in Bennett's game that people saw when he was here. I think he's fixed a lot of those holes, and he still takes bad penalties. But hey, we're about to go watch him play. Maybe people have a different opinion after watching him at the Four Nations Faceoff. Maybe people are going, oh my God, he just played against the best players in the world, and he still stood out in various ways. You know, we'll see. I at the end of the day, the one thing I will say is I do. Think very highly of Sam Bennett, and I'm very happy that he's doing as well as he is. And I think a lot of people in Calgary feel that way too.
Agreed on that front, my friend. That article.
I don't want to fight. I don't want to. It's Christmas. I don't want to fight.
Well, I don't want to be a broken family going into Christmas. Okay, I want us to pretend for the kids. What does the rest of the holiday season look like for Mr. Francis and company?
Well, just my daughter just got back from university.
Oh, nice.
Happy to see her. Yeah. So yeah, it's good family time. Look, like everybody, just cherish our whole family's going to be together. It's going to be great. And I'm very thankful that the Flames do have this significant break off. Cause I look, you know, the NHL schedule goes right up to, you know, like 11 PM on the 23rd. There are still teams playing, and I'm glad we're not one of them. So yeah, it is funny talking to all the young players. You know, so many of these guys, you just think these guys got all the money in the world and they don't worry about it. But I was talking to one young player, and I won't say who it was, but he's like, yeah, I saved like $700 because I'm going to take the red eye after the game on Saturday because otherwise it's going to cost $1,200. And I'm like, oh my God, that is so cute. We'll laugh about this conversation after you sign your next deal. But for now, good on you. You should save money by taking a red eye. Good on you. Go enjoy your time with your family.
You do the same, my friend. I'll see you at the game on Saturday, of course. But hey, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and we will chat next time on the Eric Francis Hour. Great stuff, brother.
Yeah, cheers, my man. Have a wonderful holiday. We'll see you tomorrow, and then after that, just enjoy your time with your family.
100%. You as well. Eric Francis on Twitter, at Eric Francis. That'll start to wrap us up on this week's Eric Francis Hour, brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. The Alberta horse racing and breeding industry has a $312 million positive economic impact in Alberta annually. Visit thehorses.com. 18+. Please play responsibly.